All right, good morning to everyone out there joining us on the different platforms. I want to thank you all for spending just a small segment of your time on this morning. I am Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of this wonderful church, this wonderful seed that God has grown called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I want to thank y'all for just joining us on this morning. I want to thank y'all out there in the Facebook world, YouTube world. I want to thank y'all on We Talk Radio, listening to the Shine Lord station on this morning, as well as those that tune in on Zoom as well. So I've got some wonderful, wonderful news I want to share this morning. We're in a finale of this wonderful series called Discipline, The Power of Discipline. And we're going to be talking today. We're going to have a series finale that's going to be such a dynamic blessing to you in your life. So without further ado, I want to go ahead. We've got quite a bit to cover here. I want to go ahead and get right into it. I want to give folks just a little bit of time to get on live here. And we're starting right on time this morning. We are ready for it this morning. We are ready this morning. But before we do that, I just want to thank God for the fall season. How many of y'all can attest that the fall season is such a wonderful season? It's a crispy, cool, upper 50s, low 60s out here in the North Texas area. And I just want to show all of you that we are here in West Texas. We are doing our thing. We're doing our thing in North Texas, rather. And I'm very thankful to have y'all joining us when you have that moment. But without further ado, like I said, it's been a wonderful, wonderful fall season here. We've got, I smell chimneys going. We've got wood going. We've got all kinds of things going. And I see the pumpkins out there. We got pumpkin patch events and all kinds of things going on. And I'll tell you, fall is such a wonderful time. Fall is such a wonderful time. All the colors and everything. So I'm very thankful just to be able to have a lot of us shining in, coming in, joining in wherever you are on the different platforms. I'm kind of multitasking here this morning, so I might be a little discombobulated. Just be with me. Be patient with me here as I've got one of my team members is out, so I'm kind of multitasking, but we know how God works and we know he does things wonderfully. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and get right into it on this morning here. For the past few weeks, we've been in the power of discipline. The power of discipline. We've been in this series and we've talked about the power of discipline and that discipline trains. Okay, discipline trains, discipline molds, and it corrects. And we also understand, as we've talked about in this series, that we first have to embrace discipline. We have to embrace it. We have to welcome it into our life. We have to embrace discipline, and that we may be uncomfortable with the process sometimes, but as we build a structured disciplined life, it is definitely going to reap benefits. It's going to reap spiritual and glorified benefits that are going to line us up. And we're going to talk about that as we get into this mission. It's going to line us up with the purposes that God has for us. Then we learned about the process, that discipline is a process. And that every person that is used by God, okay, think about, we talked about the biblical assignments as we read about people in the God from Isaac, Jacob, from Abraham, so forth and so on. And we understand Jesus, and we're going to talk about Jesus during this message here. What we know, that in order for people to have been used by God, and even today, you have to have the process of discipline. That's what I want us to understand. We have to endure the process of discipline. Here's something that God also wanted us to know. He wants his people to be starters as well as finishers. He wants his people, Zoom, to be starters and finishers. And that goes for our natural lives as well as for our spiritual, God-ordained lives. We have to be completers. And why do we say that? Because God is the author. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And everything that God made, as we talked about in Genesis chapter 1, when he made it, he said what? It is good. Why was it good? Because it was completed and it met his expectations. So God is a starter and he's a finisher. So that's what I want us to understand on today. And what this series has been, it's been very fruitful. It's been very spirit-filling. And it's allowing us to place ourselves in the best position to be successful, Facebook. In the best position to be successful in our lives, and for we can walk into the purpose that God has for our lives. Now we're gonna start putting our slides up here this morning. Zoom, I want to apologize. We don't have the slides for you on this morning, but on our different streaming platforms, I want you guys to look at that, because one of the key factors that really resonated with me personally, okay, and We Talk Radio, you folks join us on Facebook Live and YouTube as well, so you can get the full benefits of our messages here. But one of the things that really resonated with me during this series, as you're gonna see, as we're gonna put that first slide up here on this morning. This one stuck with me, y'all. This one here has stuck with me from the very first time. And those on Zoom, you guys remember this slide here. It says, discipline is an ongoing practice that continues to take place. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Discipline is an ongoing practice that continues to take place. It's ongoing. It's ever evolving. It's a process. And we talked last week about the motor. Okay, it's a process here. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're all honest with ourselves, if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, we know that this is an area that we're not always together in. This is, in fact, an area that we can struggle in, because we know what the reality is. And sometimes the reality is we don't like being pushed. We don't like getting moved out of our comfort zone. So we're having to learn in this process that we're stepping out of our comfort zones. We're stepping out of the level of comfort. We're having to push past what may seem familiar or what may seem comfortable. And we're having to embrace this thing called discipline that's going to better position us in our lives. So we also understand that, you know, we're going through this process of change. And anytime that we incur change, okay, in your professional lives and your family, you know, anything that you're doing for self-help purposes or whatever that may be, it's going to be a process. And a lot of times it's not fun. You know, it doesn't always taste, as we said, like German chocolate cake, but rather there are carrots and there are broccoli that has to be a part of the process. It may not taste as good, but it's what? It's for your good. Okay. It may not taste as good, but it is in fact for your good. Now, God knows, as we're laying the foundation, as we're starting our message here, and thank y'all for joining us on Zoom and those that have joined us on Facebook Live, listen to We Talk Radio as well. Okay. God knows and understands that discipline is not highly desired. It's not a highly desired undertaking. It's not highly desired. And this is something that we experience, and it's not a very popular thing. We don't like to talk about it a whole lot, but this is one of the missing pieces that connects us to our purpose and plan. So it's a must have. It's a must have in our lives to be able to be effective as we live our lives for God. But as we said in a previous message during this series, again, it may not feel good, but it is in fact for our good. It may not feel good, but it is in fact for our good. And as we talked about, I believe it was last week, it may not smell of the aroma of fresh roses, but if we can just get past all of the unpleasantries, the things that we don't like, if we can just push past that, if we can get past it, and we're going to talk about that here in this message, there lies the benefits of the byproduct of embracing the process of discipline. Getting past what's uncomfortable, then we can step into the pleasantries of the benefits of the byproduct of discipline. So for today, as we get ready to close this series out, I'm telling you right now, it is going to be fire by the time this message is done. You want to text somebody, Facebook Live, you know, like this page, share it. You want somebody to benefit from this as well. You want to be able to tell people about this as well. Let God use you. Be that e-vessel. As this word is blessing you, be a blessing to others. That's how the blessing process reciprocates, okay? That is how the blessing process works. You get blessed, you bless somebody else. You receive information, you're now empowered to prosper. Pour into someone, like it, share it, tell people about it. That's what God needs for us to do. But as we get ready to close this series out, I want us to understand that we're going to talk about the benefits of self-discipline. And our message on today, as you can see on the screen, it is in fact the benefits of self-discipline. Let us dive into this and let's allow God to speak through us on today. Lord, we thank you once again for bringing us all here. We thank you once again for your protection, for covering us, for just being in the midst of all of our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we ask that you just help us to set aside all distractions. any and everything that is junking up our minds. Clear out all the clutter so that we can hear you, Lord, with all conciseness, Lord, spiritually, physically, and also emotionally in our lives, Lord. Just come in on this morning, Holy Spirit, and have your mighty way. As I humble myself before you, Lord, I ask that you pour your word out through me, Father God, and just allow every listening ear to be blessed by this word on today. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we just thank you for another opportunity to give your word, to receive your word, and to be blessed by your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, thank y'all that have joined us on Zoom. Thank y'all on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and also on We Talk Radio, listening to the Shine Lord program on this morning. So one of the things that I want us to understand here, and I am so excited to just really, really dive into this message on today. When you spend time Zoom seeking God, okay, when you spend time Facebook seeking God and developing a relationship with him, We Talk Radio, what happens is you become more acquainted with him. You become more acquainted with God, okay? As we know that anytime that there is a relationship, it takes time. It takes time to build, okay? It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen, in fact, over time. So what I want us to understand is that if you're in a relationship, you have to learn how to best treat that person. You have to know how they are and who they are. And this happens over time. And you should learn how to treat that person, and that person should learn how to treat you as well. Okay? We had a message a while back, The Power of Friendship. And we talked, and that was our series, The Power of Relationships. We talked about the power of friendship. And we talked about friends. Remember that song, Friends? How many of us have them? But it made us think about everything that's involved in the friendships. What comes to me right now is a song that we've sang in the church for years. What a friend we have in Jesus. Think about that word friend. That's the relationship as we're talking about becoming acquainted with him. That's what it's all about. You become acquainted with your friend. You learn your friend. You take time to build and you take time to build an asset called a friendship. And it takes time to do that. And what I want us to understand, developing relationships take time, and it takes quality time to really, really, really dive into the depths of that relationship. And what I want us to know, and the reason why I'm talking about that, what I want us to know on this morning is that God is no different. Okay? God is no different. Just because you may not physically be able to see him, your spirit is connected to God. And the same friendship process that we have in the natural is the friendship process that we must have in the spiritual. Okay? And what I want us to know is that the more time that we spend with God, the more we begin to know him, the more we begin to learn of him, know how he operates. And I'm going to put a scripture up here coming from Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. This is the main text of our message on today. This is the main text, the main scripture as we get into that. And you all know that we have our biblical analogy here, right? The Bible is like having two hands, okay? The Bible is like having two hands. You've got an Old Testament, which is represented by the left hand, the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi, the Old Testament, right? Noah's Ark, Ezekiel's will, so forth and so on, okay? The prophets, the great prophets, Isaiah and Zechariah. I can go on and on and on. That's the Old Testament. And then we've got the New Testament, the books of Matthew through Revelations, okay? The books of Matthew through Revelations. We got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we get into the Pauline letters, and we hit the book of Acts, right? We talk about the book of Acts, and that's when the Holy Spirit makes his second introductory, and we begin to learn. They went up into the upper room, received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, okay? And then we get into Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, so forth and so on. Then we end in the book of Revelations. That is, in fact, the New Testament. Okay, that is the New Testament. And we're going to be hanging out because there's a special book in the New Testament called the Book of Hebrews. And that's the scripture that we're coming from on this morning, the Book of Hebrews. And as I've said before, it's speculation that the Apostle Paul wrote the Book of Hebrews. We don't really know. But what we do know is that the text in the Book of Hebrews, everything that we read, we know, in fact, that it was led by the Spirit of God. And when it comes to God, it doesn't matter who wrote it, because all that matters is who hears it. Because when God speaks, we're Word of God. Remember, it lives through us. It speaks to us and it meets us wherever we are. 2,000 years ago and 2,000 years from now, the Word of God lives. So in the book of Hebrews, I'm going to be coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're in Hebrews 11 and 6. And if you don't have your Bibles, I encourage you to use your Bible app or your old paper Bible, because I really want y'all to follow along with us here. And we're going to have the scripture up on the screen as well. So in the book of Hebrews 11 and 6, the New King James Version of the Bible, it reads, but there's always a but, as you've heard me say before, there is always a but. It might have been going this way, but there is a but. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you see him, but him is God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Some translations say to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'm going to read that scripture again. We're going to leave it up here just a little bit longer here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, one day I'm gonna do a series on the characteristics of God, as we're talking about who God is. And sometimes we just need to know the person that we're in a relationship with, and it helps us to better understand. And as we read the Word of God from start to finish, that is learning the characteristics of God. You're learning him. You're learning about his love. You're learning about who he is. You're learning about what he says. You're learning about the characteristics of God. You're learning about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how each of those different, the spiritual deities that they are, and how they function into your life and what they mean to you in your life. But what I want to focus on this morning, as we dive into the importance of spending time with God, is we want to really learn his divine character. Because what I want us to understand is that reading in Hebrews 11 and 6, we're going to learn from this text that God is a rewarder. He is, in fact, a rewarder, but only to those that diligently seek him. What do I mean by that? Let me kind of break that down here so you can understand that we can connect these dots. There's a thing called grace, and we all get up and live by grace. Whether you believe in God or not, his grace is sufficient. That's what that means. Okay, it's sufficient. In other words, it's like it's a given. It's a standard given. Okay, his grace is what it is. So you're going to live by grace, and you can get by grace. You can really and truly live a full life from the day that you're born to the day that you die just on God's grace. But here's what I want you to understand. There's a whole nother level that God has of expectation for his people. And this is why we've been in this series. Because what he's saying is that he's a rewarder. God's a rewarder. When the gifts and the blessings come organically from God, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, what I want us to understand, we're talking about our creator, okay? Our supplier zone, our strong tower, our healer, our rock in a weary land, our lily in the valley, our bright morning star, our Alpha and our Omega. He's not too big. He's not too holy to take time out for his divine schedule, of his divine schedule, to reward us just for diligently seeking him. Think about that. Think about the mountains and the animals and the sun and the space and everything that God created and that he's responsible for managing, making sure that it stays in function, right? Everything that is God, that he's created, right? He took ownership of it. That's why he said it is good when he created it. And out of everything that God is doing and all the people here on the face of this earth, God, our creator, is not too busy to reward you for being diligent. What a mighty God we serve. When you just think about God, and as you think about who he is and how he is and what he is to us, your blessing, your need, that desire, that reward is not too small for him to stop what he's doing and bless you, empower you. So as we put our next slide up here on this morning, I want you all to see, and again, we don't have the slides on Zoom, but we have them on Facebook Live and YouTube. As you see here, there is nothing too big for God to bless and nothing too small that he can't bless. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing too big for God to bless and nothing too small that he can't bless. He's a rewarder for your diligence, and he's a rewarder for your discipline. He's a rewarder for your discipline. Now, during this series here, as I had shared with my team, we were going to have a message called Diligent Discipline. We're going to have this message called Diligent Discipline as part of this series, but I felt that as we talked about the process of discipline, and we had a two-part series on that, a little two-part mini-series on the process of discipline, that we had actually covered that aspect of discipline. Because I want us to understand something here. As you see our next slide up here, as I want you to see, the fuel that burns the motor of discipline is diligence. The fuel, think about your car. You're putting gas, you're putting fuel inside your car. Okay, and it's going to keep that engine going. It's going to burn. You're going to burn the exhaust, and the car is going to propel and do what it needs to do. The fuel that burns the motor of discipline is diligence. Diligence. Diligence, ladies and gentlemen, is what God looks for. And diligence is what God rewards, as we just read in Hebrews. He is a rewarder of those that not just seek him. You can seek him every now and then. You can seek him next week. You can seek him next year. But who God rewards are those that diligently seek him. Don't leave out that word. This is why we have to study the word, break the word down, hear what it says, because we don't want to just take it at face value. We don't want to just take the word at the surface level. We want to understand the root of the word so that we can understand how it applies into our lives. He's a rewarder for your diligent seeking. And that's what I want us to understand, because here's, you see the next scripture that I'm getting ready to put up here. All right. Matthew 6:33 states, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. If it's first, that means he has to be a constant first. Zoom. He has to be a constant first. There has to be constant seeking. Yes, we live our lives. Yes, we have jobs and businesses and all these things. And life does happen. Life does connect with us. Life happens and we kind of get out of focus sometimes, but we have to remember, we have to stay diligent, because what diligence does is it burns that motor, and now we're propelled to keep God first. And when we keep God first, he says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's a discipline in it of itself. And that is, in fact, a benefit for serving and being obedient to God. Seeking him first has a reward. Seeking him first positions you for success. Seeking him first is placing you in the best position to do what God needs for you to do in your life. And seeking him first is lining you up to receive one of the benefits of being diligent. Okay? So this is what we're reading about God being a rewarder here in Matthew 6:33. And that was the New King James translation of the Bible. So I want us to understand. And another word for benefit, as we're talking about the benefits, all right? Another word for benefit is that we're clear that God will reward us on what he's doing. Another word for benefit is discipline. And another word for discipline is benefit, okay? So bear with me here. I'm multitasking on this morning, and sometimes I have to mute some people as we come on here. So just kind of bear with me here, and we're going to get through this here. But in this series here, as I transition back, we've talked in great deal about discipline. We've talked in great deal about discipline, and I want us to understand that. As a matter of fact, we've had 4 messages about discipline that I want to encourage you to go back and listen to. Okay, I want us to focus on those disciplines because here's the thing. You know, it's hard work to go from diligence to discipline. It's hard work to go from diligence to discipline. And we've used some sayings as we started out in this message. We've used some sayings that have said, the early bird is who catches the worm. Remember that? It's the early bird that catches the worm. And we also said something like, work hard, play hard. Okay, work hard, play hard. But I want us to know what God has to say about the benefits of self-discipline. So I'm going to go to another scripture here. And I want to thank y'all for joining us here as we put up this next scripture here on our multi-streaming platform. The book of Zechariah found in the Old Testament here. I'm going to read Zechariah 4 and 10 coming from the New Living Translation, the NLT version, the New Living Translation here. And it says, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices, here it is again, the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. That's what that scripture says. I'm going to read it again here. All right. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the work begin when you start. That's why I say we have to be starters and we also have to be finishers. Because the Lord loves as we start. Okay, don't despise. In other words, don't think of it as being small. Don't think of it as just being small potatoes. Because everything has to have a starting point. Everything has a start. Amazon started in the garage of Jeff Bezos. Okay, and look at Amazon now and its worth and its value over time. Okay, and so many churches, again, I say Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, Dr. Tony Evans, started in his garage as well. Garages are kind of an important factor here for starting even the Ford Motor Company, so forth and so on. So many people just started in a garage. They worked with what they had. Whatever it was that they had, they worked with it and they made it happen. Okay, so what I want us to understand, just like the woman that didn't think she had enough for Elijah, she just had some dough and she had some oil and it was just enough for her son and herself to eat. Elijah said, what it is in this house you have, just make me some bread, make me a loaf of bread. And then it began to go on and on and on. And she began to build a business out of that. And then the Lord gave her overflow. She had all this oil. So don't be discouraged with where you're starting. That's what I want us to understand. Don't be discouraged with where you're starting. And as you continue to mold and shape the disciplines of being diligent in whatever it is, you're going to continue, if you stay true to it and you don't give up, you're going to continue to see the fruits of your labor. But you cannot despise the day of small beginners, because here's the thing I want us to know. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is know that it's there. You got to know that it's for the taking. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't despise a day of small beginnings, because without faith, guess what? It's impossible to please God. So when you're starting a new discipline, a new practice, a new undertaking, okay? When you start with that, it lines up with the plans that he has for you in your life. And guess what God will do? God will rejoice. And as you see the slide up here, I love this slide right here. It just changed my life. And the slide zoomed, the slide says here, and when God rejoices, God rewards. When God rejoices, God rewards. Think about that. Have you done something to make God rejoice? Have you done something to say, okay, God is seeing you start something? He's saying you start practicing better eating habits, better spending habits, wanting to change for the better. I saw a post from one of my friends from years ago that just said, you know, she's going to just make these changes for her family. She's going to get an exercise coach or a personal trainer and join a team in a community. And I'm doing this because I just want to be better. I just want to live better. It's challenging. I get mad at my coach and I get upset and all that good stuff here, but we hold each other accountable. But she's operating in the power of discipline to make the changes she needs that's going to add to her life, that's going to benefit her life. And I commend her on that. And that's such a wonderful thing. But you have to get started. You know, Les Brown has a saying that you don't have to be great to get started. You don't have to be great to get started. But you can't become great until you get started. You can't become great until you get started. So God just sometimes wants to see us start. Step out of the boat. Lord, bid me to come out if it's you. Tell me to step out and come out and meet you. He just wants to see you start. And if he can just see you start, he rejoices. Because when God rejoices, he rewards. Okay? So I want us to understand that. And as we talked about this new beginning, just getting started, we've made the choice to then, when we make that choice, Zoom, when we make that choice, Facebook, we embrace the discipline. I know it's not going to be comfortable. I know it's not going to taste good. I know it's not going to feel good, but I accept it. I embrace it. I welcome all the ups and the downs. I welcome all the uncomfortable nights. I welcome everything that it happens, that happens, because I'm having to see past what I don't like. I'm having to see past what doesn't taste good. I'm having to see past what doesn't feel good. I'm having to see past that. That's why if you were looking at our template today, there is a road, and that road is called faith. Because as we get through and we go on our journeys, and thank you, he's putting it up right now, as we're talking about the benefits of discipline here, that road is a constant thing. That road is going to have some potholes. That road is going to have some turns. That road is going to become blurry. That road is going to have other people passing in other lanes. Sometimes you got to change lanes, and sometimes you got to bob and you got to weave. Sometimes you're not comfortable. Sometimes you can't drive the way you want to. Sometimes there's a traffic buildup. Sometimes there are hazardous things that are in the road. Sometimes there's weather that you got to experience. Sometimes the sun might be too hot. But despite of what it all, you have to embrace the discipline to go forward on your journey. I'm going to take my glasses off because the Holy Spirit is hot this morning. I don't know what's about to go down this morning, but I feel something in my bones. I feel like Jeremiah. Maybe that's why my name is Jeremy. I feel like Jeremiah is just shut up in my bones. Somebody is being freed on this morning. Somebody is being uplifted on this morning. Somebody is just saying, you know what? I'm going to embrace discipline. I am going to accept discipline. I am going to make the changes to step out of my comfort zone because I can be better. I can feel better. I can go further. I can achieve my dreams. I can achieve my goals. I can do all things, as Romans 8 and 20 tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Which strengthens me. I can do it. And if I embrace the discipline, ladies and gentlemen, I can in fact do it. I don't know if I'm going to get through this sermon because I kind of feel something going on right here, but I know somebody is being freed on this morning. So I just want you to know you got to stay in your lane. You've got to accept the discipline. You cannot be intimidated. Don't be dismayed and know that God has got you. And when you think about it, sometimes I'm going to say this, sometimes the thought of being uncomfortable is worse than being uncomfortable itself. Just near thinking about it can mentally check you out of a situation because it's all about the thoughts. That's why you can't rely on your thoughts. You can't rely on your feelings. This is why we're having to learn to embrace discipline, because your thoughts will tell you you ain't qualified for that, Zoom. Your thoughts will tell you that there is no way you can achieve that. Your thoughts will tell you that, you know what, I'm just not the one. Maybe it's not for me. And we will talk ourselves out of our own destiny. We will talk ourselves out of things that God has laid up for us, but we limit ourselves because we look at our own abilities and we don't want to accept the discipline. We don't want to accept the change, and we stay where we are. Well, if you keep doing what you've been doing, guess what? You're going to keep getting what you've been getting. But this is the reason why when God is speaking, he is speaking. And I know it's not just speaking to me. He is speaking to somebody else out there. You're going to change your life. Your life ain't going to never be the same after today. I speak that prophetically. Your life will never be the same on today because you're going to embrace the disciplines that you need to move forward in the areas of God, that God needs for you to move forward in your life. So as we're moving on here, I want to say this note here. As we place ourselves, we realize that we have to stay focused. We can't be dismayed. We can't be distracted. We got to stay on the track, stay on the path. And as we stay focused, what I want us to understand is that as we stay alert and we keep our feet on the gas pedal, as we talked about the road, we keep our foot on the gas pedal, and we just can't rely on cruise control because it ain't going to always be comfortable. We cannot just hit on cruise control. At some point, we're going to have to stop. Some point, we're going to have to turn. some point we're going to have to hit our brakes or whatever the case. And I appreciate all of the technology with autonomous cars and all of that. But I still want to make sure I got my foot close to that pedal. I still want to make sure I got my foot close to that accelerator, because I just can't rely on the technology alone. What if there is a glitch? What if something happens? I need to be in control. Here's the word of my destiny. And that will happen as we continue to grow and embrace discipline. Now, I'm going to put the scripture up here that I want us to understand here, coming from that dynamic, wonderful, wonderful word preacher by the name of the Apostle Paul's in Philippians Zoom 3:14. I'm coming from the old school King James version of the Bible. What Paul is telling us, that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that mark that the Apostle Paul is talking about, that mark that he's talking about is being viewed as a prize, but not just any prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God, that means that calling from God in Christ Jesus. You have it through Christ Jesus. That's what you're pressing toward. That's what you're pushing. This is why you're accepting the discipline to get to that level, to get to that prize, to get to that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a great benefit. But it comes from being disciplined on your journey, on that road. You have to be disciplined, Zoom. You got to be disciplined, We Talk Radio. You got to be disciplined, Facebook and YouTube Live. Because what I want us to understand is, as you stay focused and you keep your feet on the pedal of salvation, you will reach the benefit call, the mark of his high calling. How about that? I just want to take a little praise break right now to just stay focused and receive the benefit of the high calling, that mark, that level of achievement that Paul is talking about, receiving that from God. So we're talking about the benefits of self-discipline in our message on today, the benefits of self-discipline. Now, I want to give you another story here that I also wanted to talk about too, as we get ready to close this series out. In the book of Luke, okay, Luke being one of the 12 disciples, okay, Luke is a very interesting book of the Bible here. He had an account in the book of chapter 4 in Luke in the New Testament. What he wrote about was his version, okay, what the Lord spoke through him to write about, what the Lord inspired him to write about, of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River, being full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, full of the Holy Spirit. After he received his baptism, and God, remember, sent the angel down and said, "My son, whom I am pleased," that moment, right? Right after that, Jesus was led by that same Spirit that he's filled up, right? That he's filled up with. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Think about that. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, the holy deity, okay? The functions, the three-part function of God. Jesus humbled himself so much that he accepted where the Holy Spirit was leading him, even though they're all equal in their power, right? Okay? So just think about the humbleness. As we talked about the power of humility, think about the humbleness of Jesus to be led by the Spirit. We need to understand how much Jesus humbled himself when he came on the face of the earth. And we don't give him enough credit for how he humbled himself to just die for our sins. Okay? To just die for our sins. Something he didn't even have to do. To step down from royalty, from glory, from every and all things related to his royalty. To stoop down. And to be just punished for things that he didn't do. We'll talk about that as we get closer to Easter. But I just wanted to explain that. So he was sent into the wilderness for 40 days. And if you're looking for an example of discipline, this is one of the greatest examples of being disciplined. So just try being in an unfamiliar territory. I want to paint a picture for you. Just try being in an unfamiliar territory with nothing to eat for 40 days because you're focused. Okay? This is one of the greatest examples here. Just think about that. You're in an unfamiliar territory. You've got nothing to eat. And you're just in wilderness. You're not really going anywhere. You're just out in the wilderness. It's just you, and you're just building strength. You're just You're just staying close to God. You're just seeking God, and you're making your body submit to being uncomfortable. You're not going through your normal routine. You left an occupation as a carpentry where you kind of had a ebb and a flow, and Jesus could have really built a magnificent business and done remarkable things, but he said, nah, I've got a calling. I've got something to do here. I cannot stay here. I got to transition. He had to, here's the word, embrace discipline. He had to embrace the change. And he went through the transition. Okay, this is at age 30. He went through this transition and he put himself in a position to just be at losing all nutrition and everything, 40 days. Some of us can't go 4 hours. I don't try to go longer than 4 hours without eating, okay? We'll talk about fasting and the element of fasting and some of the misnomers of fasting and what fasting really does. But this right here is a whole different level. This is just beyond fasting. This is just a whole nother level of welcoming discipline, because he was getting himself ready to be able to go on 3 dynamic years of ministry. But I want us to understand, it took discipline to be out in the wilderness. See, we can fast and be at home. We can fast and be in familiar territory. But when you fast in uncharted territories, in the wilderness, and you got nothing but temptations and distractions and everything coming from Satan, think about that level of discipline. Think about what Jesus had to endure just to get ready to step into ministry. This is why I say we cannot despise a day of small beginnings, because that's just where you're starting. But it has nothing to do with where you're going. And we know how things ended when Jesus was going and where he is and what he did. And because he did that, we all have access to this thing called salvation. But what I want us to understand is this is one of the greatest examples of discipline we'll ever read about in all 66 books of the Bible. Jesus decided, he made the choice. Remember, we talked about that. You got to make the choice. He made the choice to go through the process of fulfilling his purpose. He didn't give up. He was a starter and a finisher. He made the choice to welcome these changes in his life. He was building the strength he needed to develop the discipline to go from a skilled carpenter to our holy Savior. And I want us to understand that that discipline that he displayed during these 40 days is nothing like we've ever seen in the history of this world. Because he goes from being separated to being sanctified. And when he had the power to call on the angels, remember the enemy, call on your angels. He could have done all kinds of things during this temptation when the enemy came. And don't think the enemy came on day one, but Jesus was still kind of fresh. The enemy came in with a kill shot. He came in when Jesus was in the weakest of his moments. And that's when he started attacking. And that's when he started saying, oh, just give it up and I'll give you all these kingdoms. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Satan just lying, just lying, just lying. But Jesus was disciplined enough to not give in to the temptations of the enemy. He was disciplined enough to not hear of the lies of the devil. He was disciplined enough, even though his body was weakened, his spirit was getting stronger. And when we embrace discipline, there might be some areas that are getting weak over here, but you better believe wherever you're going, those areas are getting stronger. That's why you can't give up. That's why you can't stop, because there are fruitful benefits of discipline. So what I want us to understand is that this is what Jesus did, but the enemy didn't know. He thought that Jesus was extremely weak. He did not know that during these last few days of his experience, this was actually building Jesus's resistance. It was building his strength to be able to stay focused. It was getting him ready for the cross, for the ridicules, for all the challenges that he would receive from the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and people that wouldn't believe in him. All it was doing was building him. So don't let the weakness, even though it seemed weakness, don't let the weakness make you think he's meek in any way, shape, or form. So I want us to understand here, we can all be thankful for the discipline of Jesus. His discipline produced the greatest benefit that all of us can receive. That is something that I want us to know and understand, because what I want us to know and understand is that our self-discipline can result in the benefit for someone else, just like Jesus. He took on the discipline for our benefit. Our self-discipline, ladies and gentlemen, somebody put that in the chat. Our self-discipline can benefit somebody else. Okay, our self-discipline can benefit somebody else. Now, as we put our next slide up here, as we're talking about this message, okay, who else can benefit from my self-discipline? Have you ever thought about that? Who else, just like Jesus, who else can benefit from my self-discipline? Who can be a beneficiary of my self-discipline. Okay? It's not always about you, but it could be because of you. I want you to hear that. I'm going to say that again. It's not always about you, but it could be because of you. Who else can benefit from my self-discipline? Maybe I can just keep myself focused and press on toward the mark. If I just keep my foot on the gas, someone else can benefit from my self-discipline. Now, the greatest discipline that we can have is a discipline to fulfill our purpose in life. And what I want us to see here, I'm putting up Jeremiah 29 and 11. Y'all know how I feel about that scripture. I'm coming from the NIV, the New International Version. Here, and it says, this is God talking, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Plans to give you a hope and a future, Zoom. The disciplined life will lead us into the plans God has for us. The disciplined life, Facebook, will lead us into the plans that God has for us. God's plan of prospering, Sister Baton, God's plan of prospering us and not harming us are just some of the benefits of being disciplined and diligently seeking Him. Okay, that's what God wants for us. His plans, I'm going to say that again, of prospering us and not harming us are just some of the benefits of being disciplined and diligently seeking Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, right? That's what I want us to understand. They line up with Jeremiah 29 and 11. They line up with the things that God wants for you. They line up with the things that God has for you, that's stored up for you. Okay? If the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, we have to be disciplined to receive that wealth. We have to be disciplined to know how to manage that wealth. We have to be disciplined to know how to compound that wealth, not just given to us just because. It's not about being entitled. Again, it's not always about you, but it could be because of you. Can we leave an inheritance to our children's children? Okay, our children's children. That's what the Bible says. Can we do those things? That's all about being disciplined, getting rid of the instant gratification and understand the importance of delayed gratification. Those are different things. And we'll talk about that more when we get into the power of wealth. We're going to talk about that more on. But what I want us to understand. So here's the deal. If the creator of life says, "Seek me and I'll reward you," would you not want to be rewarded from the creator of life? Just think about that. When something comes from God, think about the substance that it is when it comes from God. Just think about that. Not when it comes from just something that you can do on your own or whatever the case, but when it comes from God, it is organically divine when it comes from Him. If God says being disciplined in your faith is what pleases Him, who would not want to please the one and only true and living God? Your discipline leads to destiny. And if only you can position yourself to just receiving all that God has for you, you will receive the benefits of self-discipline. So I'm going to ask some questions as I get ready to wrap this up. And I want to thank y'all for joining us on this one. And I'm going to ask some questions here. The question that I have for you on today, are you ready to go to a new level of discipline in God? Are you ready to position yourself to be the God pleaser that you can be? Are you ready to put new wine in your wineskin of life? See, right about now, if I had a B3 organ, I'd tell that organ to just put me in B flat or something like that, because I'm about to get happy right now. Are you ready for the next level of blessings in your life? It is time for us as people of God to come off the sidelines and to get out there and get everything that God needs for us to just embrace that discipline. Can you sacrifice being uncomfortable? Can you step out of the boat of comfort? Can you embrace discipline? And are you ready for the process of discipline? Are you ready to accept new disciplines in your life to position yourself to receive the best of your life? I've got a question for you on today. Can you taste delayed gratification, and can you postpone it to receive all the satisfaction? Are you ready for the disciplined life? Can you live to God's ultimate satisfaction? Let me ask you something here. If your answer is yes to all of those questions, if your answer is yes to all of these questions, I want you to get ready to receive Ephesians 3 and 20 blessings, which are exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. That's what God wants us to know and to understand. You see how all of these scriptures come together. You see how everything is beginning to connect. If we can accept the disciplines, there is so much that God wants to do through us here. So I'm asking you, I am pleading you, I am telling you right now, can you join me in embracing discipline in our lives? Can we accept new disciplines in our lives? Can we accept doing things in a more disciplined manner, making more disciplined decisions, taking discipline to a whole nother level in our lives, and not just being intimidated by it, not just saying, I don't want to deal with it, not just saying I'm uncomfortable? No. If we want to go to another level, can you join me in embracing discipline? That's the question that I have for you on today. And if we, as I close, if we can just stand the discomfort of the rain, can you stand the rain? Can you stand the rain? If you can just get past getting wet just for a little bit, it ain't gonna rain forever. You got an umbrella. It's not gonna always be peaches and cream. It's not gonna always have a nice blue sky with the sun shining and all that. But the question that I have for you on today is, can you stand the rain of discipline? And if you can, what I want you to know is if you can just stand the discomfort of rain, your life, ladies and gentlemen, will never, ever be the same. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise as we close out this series here. I want to thank y'all for listening into this series here. I know it wasn't the most well-received series, but let me tell you something. It's not always about just having a good message and shouting and running and all that. We gotta have some school sometimes. We gotta have some instruction sometime. Okay, that's why I'm a teacher of the Word of God. Sometimes we just have to be taught. We can't just be made to shout. We have to be taught. Okay, we have to change the way we accept this, because this is what it's gonna take going into 2021 and beyond. God is ready for us to be in full control of this world. Okay? He is ready for that. He is ready for us to receive what's laid up for the just. He's ready for that. But we have to accept discipline. We have to embrace discipline. And this is what I want us to know. And the greatest benefit of all, the greatest discipline that all of us can face in our lives, is a discipline to be dedicated to living a life for Christ. So right now, whoever you are, maybe you've heard a word or two from this series, or maybe you followed this series from the start way back in August up till now. Whoever you are, maybe you're on the fence. I don't know what your story is, but here's what I do know. I know who's in control. I know the author and finisher of your faith. I know the man that made you, molded you, shaped you. And even before you entered into the womb of your mother, he foreknew you, Jeremiah 1:5. And right now, he already knew you. And today I want to give you the opportunity to get to know him. Whoever you are, if that's you, you're ready to embrace this new discipline in your life called living for the Lord. And right now, whoever you are, just lift your hand. I don't care where you are. If you're sitting at Cracker Barrel right now, Waffle House, wherever you are, it might look crazy. Look crazy for God. Just do it. Just look crazy for him. Okay, don't be ashamed or whatever your cool state is or whatever. Just come down off of that. Be disciplined enough to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to dedicate my life to him. Dedicate my life to him. Not just do it on Sunday and forget Monday through Saturday, but dedicate. That means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday, you get filled up, you get your instruction, all that. And then it's all about deploying that work out into the workplace and your family and friends and everyone else Monday through Saturday, right? How about this? You want a coach here. I just want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, this series has been a blessing to me. Lord, I just thank you for the word. Forgive me for my sins. Turn me around, Lord. Clean my heart. Clean my mind. Heal me, Lord Jesus. And most of all, make me whole once again. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. Accept me in your life, and I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to know who you are. If that was you, I want to know who you are. I want to first welcome you into this team, this kingdom that never loses. And right now, I just want you to understand, right now, we've been broadcasting these messages right now from my living room. And I'll tell you, or my whatever this room is here, the study or whatever the case, wherever we are. But the beautiful thing is, we're able to reach you anywhere in the world. And you can be saved right now where you are. You can give your life any day, anytime. I don't care if you listen to this 2 years from now. The moment you confess, the Bible says, and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in fact saved. Shoot me a note, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I just want to stay connected with you. If you're looking for a church that wants to cultivate the believer in you, join the Soil Church. We'd love to have you here. We got some great things coming up here pretty soon, but I'd love to start some dialogue with you. We're still laying the foundation of this ministry, and we're taking our time. We're not despising the day of small beginnings. God has got wonderful things in store. This is a marathon. This ain't no sprint. And I'm just going to continue to allow God to pace us as we continue to grow. And right now, everybody can participate into this part of the service right now. Everybody can sow some seeds. Everybody can tell God, thank you. Everybody can show God, hey, Lord, you know what? This word blessed me. And right now, you see the different options that we have up here. Zoom, we don't have the options up visibly, but most of you know, we've got Givelify. Just look us up, Soil Church, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church on Givelify. Okay, online, you guys can use a QR code, scan that code, it'll take you right to our page. Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com on the Zelle app in an old school way, you know, P.O. Box 180972 in the great city of Arlington, Texas. And our P.O. Box is about literally 6 minutes away from the home of the Dallas Cowboys. That's right, we're right over there at Jerry's World. You can send that over to us here in that P.O. Box as well. And we love it. We pray over every last seed that comes into this ministry. And I just want to personally thank everybody that have been given into this message. I want to let you know from the sincerity of my heart, I thank you for every seed. It is not about the amount. I just thank God, because when I see those seeds come in and I see, hey, you know what? This person sent that. Yeah, I get to see who it is. And you know what? I specifically pray over your seed. I know who you are. Okay, I specifically pray over your seed, and I'm thanking God for a 100-fold return in your life. And I can't wait till I start hearing testimonies from a lot of y'all to say, hey, you know what? Once I started giving into this ministry, I have seen so many things change in my life. I have seen doors open. I have seen miracles come through. I have seen it, because the word works. God says, try me and see that I don't pour out windows of heaven's blessings. He said, just try me. Just trust me. Do it. See, and he said, I will prove myself to you. So just give to us here. We thank you for your tithes. We thank you for your offerings. Matter of fact, let's pray over them now. Lord, we thank you for every seed coming into this ministry. Thank you for every seed, for every need. For every need, there is a seed. We thank you for the reciprocal blessings that are coming from just obedience, for just giving, because giving is service. And we thank you for it, Lord. We're showing that service. We're not just receiving this word and moving on, but Lord, we're telling you thank you so that we can be elevated. We can literally go to the next level by just showing you thank you, Lord, by just taking a step to show thank you, for just saying, Lord, I know it ain't much, as $5 or $6 or whatever it is, but Lord, just take it and bless it. It may start off as that, Lord, but that mustard seed is so small. But that tree grows into something amazing. It's not about the size of the seed. It's about the level of obedience and the level of faith, Lord. So every person that sows into this ministry on today, Lord, I want to thank you right now for them, for just believing in what you're doing, Lord. And I know they've got some blessings that are getting ready to just get the moving and shaking in their lives, Lord. Miracles and healing and so many things, not just financial or just tangible blessings, Lord, but mental, emotional, you know, restoration and just so many things, Lord. You said you'd do it in your word. We thank you for this series. We thank you for the fall season. We thank you for this harvest season, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing. And we'll be back next week to continue with your word, Lord. Give us all your traveling grace. Cover us in the name of Jesus, Lord. And help us to have a wonderful, productive week, to be fruitful and to multiply. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. I want to thank y'all for joining us. Thank y'all for tuning in on Zoom. I love to fellowship with y'all. If y'all hang on here, thank y'all on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. I want to thank y'all on We Talk Radio, okay, the Shine Lord program. I want to thank everybody. And thank y'all for joining us on this series. I pray that it has been life-changing to you. We'll see you next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. Have a fantastic Sunday, folks, and we will see you soon. Love y'all. You take care.